Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, we're back. Ready to roll? Hour two.
Was I standing in front of the camera?
Hour two of the Rod Peterson Show is here. If you're just joining us, good morning, Canada, or good day, wherever you may be, Canadian sports fans around the world checking in. A lot of people saying they can't believe how fast this show has gone. I would agree. It's been fun. We've had a lot of interesting show topics for you curling fans, particularly those that reside here in the 306. Matty Dunstone, representing the 306 at the Brier in Kingston, Ontario, scored, from what I understand here, 4 in the 10th end and 1. Was it BC, Clark? Do you know? Were we following that? Ty Dacu? Wasn't following it. Saskatchewan won this morning to go to 2-1. They were writing in on the Facebook wall here. And, of course, for those that are listening to the podcast right now, this will be old news by then. That's my only complaint about curling. 3 draws a day,
yeah.
Very hard to keep up to date with.
It's hard. It's fun to watch, but, yeah, it moves at, like, breakneck speed.
Yeah, a lot. So they won. Kudos to them. A lot of CFL discussion today. Willie Jefferson was with us from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Hour 1. And I should, by the way, introduce our guest here in the bunker, Darren DuPont, co-host. He's not a guest. Nick Lewis is. He's become more of a co-host than a guest. But the interview with Willie Jefferson was, quite frankly, fascinating. He joined us from Beaumont, Texas, the reigning Canadian Football League Defensive Player of the Year. Kind of took us deep inside, being courted by the Argos and the Ticats. And he said it felt nice. Having his butt kissed.
Yeah.
All in sundry. Yeah, why wouldn't it?
That's what college is all like, those recruiting trips in college, that's what it's all about.
Right. And then in the end, he settled on Winnipeg, and he said that his daughter and his wife did, in fact, make the decision. So, Bomber fans, you can thank Holly and Kelly as much as you can, Willie, that he's back with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And coming up this hour, Derek Dennis of the New York Guardians of the XFL and Naaman Roosevelt of the Montreal Alouettes. But Willie did mention that he does not want his salary published. This came up Saturday during the Randy's road trip stop at Mosaic Stadium here in Saskatchewan. Question from the crowd. Came to the commissioner and said, will you ever publish salaries? He, the president of the Riders and the GM of the Riders, all agreed this is not something that will happen. Biggest reason, they said, was privacy issues. Jeremy O'Day went on to say that, well, if some guy's being paid too much, there'd be too much pressure on him, which I get is a thing. I don't necessarily go along with it or agree with it, quite frankly. I don't. But, Darren, you weren't privy to that conversation.
Not with Willie.
Not with Willie, but did this sway your mind at all? Because you said yes, did you not?
Yeah, I think they should be published. Yeah, I'd have to hear more from more players, too, and why. And I'm sure there might be a reason why they don't want to be published. And I mean, to me, it's not one of the biggest issues in the CFL. It's not a big deal for me to know the salaries. It doesn't change the way I operate or the way I evaluate the league and the game, but it'd just be fun, right? Because we love playing armchair general manager, right? We do it all the time. I just think it would add another element to being a fan.
Cool. So that is our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Should CFL salaries be published? 70%+ saying yes, they should. By the way, I got a text. I'm sorry. I'm a little all over the place. Kirby texted me, Kirby Cazell. Suds is officially a sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Whoa.
Come on, a second ring of the bell. Suds Car Wash, thank you, Kirby. Appreciate it. And we got a lot of great things being cooked up for Suds. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
That's really exciting.
Thank you, Kirby, and the whole Cazell family. Very much appreciated. Now, ahead, who do we have first, Clark, Derek Dennis, or Naaman? He's coming right away, Clark tells me. This from CBS Sports this morning. Headline, Jaime Elizondo may have saved the Vipers. Goes on to say, everyone and their mother was ready for Tampa Bay to can Mark Trestman after the Vipers started 0-2 and looked incredibly incompetent in the process. But then Trestman turned the offensive reins, specifically play calling, over to Mr. Elizondo, a longtime CFL assistant. Think it made a difference? In weeks 1 and 2, the Vipers scored a combined 12 points. Since Elizondo has been manning the offensive game plan, they've scored 52. More than that, he's helped quarterback Taylor Cornelius look incredibly comfortable, leaning on running backs Davion Smith and Jacques Patrick to rejuvenate Tampa's entire season. Now, just ahead of Derek Dennis of the New York Gardens joining us, I don't want to believe that Trestman is not
the quarterback
not just quarterback whisperer, the football guru. I don't want to believe that he's the problem. But this guy's saying that he is. Do you guys have a take on this?
It takes a team, man. It's like a true coaching staff, man. It takes a team. Trust me, Trestman's still heavily involved.
Right? Of course he is. He's that coach.
He's still heavily involved in all the decision-making, everything that's going on. I just think that sometimes others can – everybody advances what you do well, right? And Elizondo's been in that tree. So to advance what Trestman does, it just makes it new. Mm-hmm. It makes it newer,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think Elizondo's done a great job. And looking at what he did in Ottawa, he done a great job of getting the ball to the best players on the field. And that's what it's about. And then they go make plays and you win games.
He is an outstanding offensive coordinator, outstanding football coach.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to see that he and the Vipers are having success down there. So let's go to New York now. We got Derek Dennis with us from the New York Guardians, who were victorious in his New York debut at MetLife Stadium on Saturday. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rod. How you doing?
Fantastic. We got Nick Lewis here. I think you know who he is, and Darren DuPont. And Derek, how did it feel to be back out on the gridiron, that tiny field Saturday at MetLife, and come off as a winner? Take us through the day.
It was cool. I mean, my workload was pretty easy. I just did a field goal, being that I just joined the team about 2-3 days ago. So they wanted to give me some more time to get acclimated with the offense. And not just throw me out there, just to throw me out there, which I appreciated. So it was nice, man. I mean, playing in the NFL game again, I met life since my rookie year in the NFL. So it was pretty cool to be back there and just, you know, being home and being able to have friends and family in the stands who live 20, 25 minutes away. It was kind of cool. So I think that's the biggest excitement I'm getting right now is that I'm able to play pro football in my backyard.
You know what? I can actually tell by the smile on your face, the look on your face, how happy you are with this decision. And as far as the American rules, because there's a big change, right? Whether you want to call it the neutral zone or whatever, the yard off the ball. Was it like riding a bike for you? Or, you know, what was the adjustment once you got into the game?
That was for sure like riding a bike. I think the biggest thing that I could be as an offensive lineman here in the States is that everything happens a lot quicker the players are a lot bigger. So, you know, the speed and the violence that I can, as opposed to what I can't do in Canada, because that yard off the ball forces you to be a little more patient, and you got to be a little calmer in your sets and stuff in order to block, you know, D lineman or run block, because everything is more space. It's a lot more two-way goes. And down here, you don't really have to worry about that. The guy's right in front of you. You can just fire off the ball and just it's man on man. So I feel like I'm getting back to the football that I pretty much grew up playing my whole life. And it is like riding a bike, man. It's pretty easy to pick back up on it.
Hey, what up, Derek? It's Nick. Hey, man, how you doing?
What's good, Nick? How you doing, man?
I'm good. People talk about your hair being black again and and things like that. It's good to see you back on the field, man. You going to play tackle or guard? And
right now,
also, when are you going to be confident enough to say you're the best lineman in the XFL? So I know you like to talk.
Honestly, I always tell people I feel like I'm the best player every time I touch a football field, regardless of league or who I'm playing with. So, I do feel that way now, even really touch the field just yet. But that's part of the game of football, man. You can't really touch the field if you don't really have confidence and go out there and have, you know, faith in that you're going to go out there and get the job done. But I think right now they got me on a mix of both. I'm actually hoping to get some center reps just because I want to get some film that, you know, possibly maybe give me a long shot to get back in the NFL. You know, right now I'm not a tackle in body type and how I play the game. I never was a tackle. I didn't start playing tackle until I got back to Canada. And that's kind of just the optics of things, that when you're American and you play in Canada, they want you to play tackle because that's just where they put you. So I always was a guard center coming up. So I'm kind of getting back to my roots of being able to be inside and mash stuff and all of that I was always programmed to be. So I'm hoping to get some guard center in while I'm down here. I'm still doing a little bit of tackle now. So who knows? I really don't know exactly where the coach staff is going to put me, but I'm always ready to go wherever they need me.
How's the caliber of football compared to the CFL? We're watching it on TV, but you're in the trenches. So how would you answer that?
It's a lot more violent, and the D linemen down here are bigger than they are in Canada. I mean, in Canada, you get a defensive end who's, you know, 220, 230, you know, 240 on the bigger side. And down here, defensive ends are, you know, 260, 270, and D tackles are, you know, 310, 315, 320. So you're going against guys who are probably just as big as you or bigger, and they can move. And I think the violence and the violence of how heavy the guys are, it's a little more violent than it is in Canada because, you know, the D linemen are not as big. They're more agile because they got to do a lot more running because the field is bigger. So I think the biggest adjustment as a lineman that you have to deal with is that you're going to deal with guys who are a lot stronger and a lot quicker in a shorter space because the field is not as big.
That's very interesting. Our intern, Alan, wants to know, hey, Derek, who's the best trash talker that you've ever faced?
Best trash talk I've ever faced. I don't know. Guys don't really talk smack to me. I mean, normally I try to set the tone as a lineman. I'd rather be the one doing the hitting than getting hit. And normally guys only talk when they feel like they could dominate you. So, I mean, if I get a chance to rock somebody, I'm going to let them know that they're going against 345, 350 pounds that can move and that can play. So I don't really go against dude. I think the only dude would probably be Charleston. Charleston talks to anybody regardless, you know. But
yeah.
Like the last two seasons I played in Canada, Hughes didn't really talk too much to me. But the outside of 17, that was the only time I really heard Charleston, you know, beat Charleston. But other than that, I mean, that's probably the only dude I've gone against that talks trash.
Well, he certainly does it in the paper. I don't know if he does it on the field or not, like leading up to the game, right? But, Derek, here's one for you. I saw the crowd was 12,000 and change at MetLife Stadium. It was the smallest crowd yet for the Guardians. You mentioned that your family was there. Is there getting to be some buzz in the New York area, and do you expect that the attendance will go up? I mean, what's the buzz there in the market?
I think the buzz is going to be good. I think New York has always been a place where, you know, if you're not winning, it's hard, people are just not going to show up. So they love winners, and us getting that win the other day is going to help a lot with getting fans out. Plus, too, the weather here is cold, man. And a lot of people don't like being outside this time of year because, you know, winters are harsh, and a lot of people don't want to be in the cold. I think it was like 30. It was 30 degrees at the game the other day, and it was super windy. For some reason, MetLife like holds a lot of wind, so it felt like even colder. So a lot of people was having a hand there at the game just because of the weather. But I feel like if the weather warms up, I mean, attendance is going to go up. I mean, me being here now, everyone's that I know, you know, say my high school wants to come to the next home game, friends and family, I'm probably going to have at least like 2,000 people in the stands for the next home game, just me alone. So, I think the attendance will go up, especially if the weather goes up. And people here, you get Jersey, New York, Connecticut, they love football, man. There's people coming from the entire tri-state to come watch the Guardians play. And the reception I've been getting since I've joined the team has been tremendous. And I think as long as we keep winning games, I think the attendance will go up.
I'm actually glad I asked you that. And of all the coverage that I read coming out of the weekend, nobody brought up the weather.
Yeah.
It was CBS Sports that said this. Thank you for pointing that out, Derek. It's a great reason why the attendance was down. And lastly, our poll question today is, should CFL salaries be published? And 74% of respondents, our viewers, say yes. Willie Jefferson, however, last hour said no. I'm not sure what Nick said. What would you vote?
I would vote yes, to be honest. I think that's just part of the game. As a professional athlete, you're a public figure. And, you know, this public record is always public. So I feel like, you know, if the NFL guys can sign a contract in there and you could go online and figure out what their contract is, and any other professional sport, you can go online and find out what a player is making. I don't see why there should be any difference with CFL players. But I guess, you know, just being there with a guy who got a big contract before, I understand that the optics of it is that when you get a big contract, it comes with certain expectations, and some people don't want to have, you know, added pressure to them, or some people don't want people to know, or they don't want their family to know how much money they're making because someone's going to be calling them asking for something. Like, it's a whole lot of stuff being a pro athlete that probably rise into guys not wanting their salary to be public. But honestly, I think it's just part of the game. I don't see why you wouldn't it wouldn't be put out there because someone's going to find out regardless whether it's public information or not. You know, everybody has friends that are in front offices or friends that's, you know, connected some way that could get any type of information that they need to get. So I don't see what's the point. You might as well just make it public.
Great answer. And lastly, Joe Lazito's watching on Long Island. He says, welcome back, Rod, because I was in Cabo for a week, Derek, just so you know. And he says, just want to say welcome home to Derek. So he's saying welcome home to the tri-state area. So, Joe, you got to get out to the games, man. You got to get out and watch the Guardians. And, Derek, obviously we're following very closely, so continued success. And I appreciate the time here today.
Oh, man, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hold it down, man. Be great.
Yes, sir. You know it.
Derek Dennis joining us from his car. And I would suggest the parking lot of MetLife Stadium or maybe the training facility. But what'd you take out of that interview? I took out a lot.
Yeah, lots to digest there. You know, currently, you know, clearly he loves it. Clearly he's having a good time. The football, the changes of it, we see it, you know, the wide field, the style, you know, the amount of times, you know, you throw the ball or run the ball or different things like that. But you don't really realize the difference that it has in the trenches.
Yeah.
You know, the size that guys are. That's why you see, you know, defensive ends in the CFL become linebackers in the NFL, right? Or, you know, where they're more agile, more athletic. That's the biggest takeaway for me is just how much more violent he says it is, just because of the size difference.
Yeah, it's more downhill, and everybody's a size down in the CFL because of the size of the field. Can't be 300-plus playing on this big field because you got to be able to move. A lot of stretch zone in the CFL, where NFL is a lot more downhill running styles and things like that, right? So it does pay to be a little bit bigger. But, you know, you see SJ playing at home in Tampa. Now you see Derek playing at home.
Sergio Castillo playing in Houston. I saw him kick another field goal.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was there. Houston.
Yeah, so you get these guys get to go home and be on these platforms they built coming to Canada and building careers. Now they get to go home and enjoy playing in front of that, right? For him to bring out 2,000 guys, that's huge for that team, right?
Because he's from there.
That's 1/6 of what they had last week.
Yeah.
Right? And exactly. He's going to bring that next week.
A couple things from Nathan Paradis Jr. He says, I just discovered this channel. You earned a new follower. Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate it. And I think for those that don't really understand, if you think of Facebook pages like television channels, that would be a very good way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
It's a parallel that way.
For sure.
So we're glad to have you, Nathan. Thank you. From Colin McNulty in Ottawa, he says, love Derek Dennis telling us his feelings on the new league and the differences between the 3-down league and a 4-down league. Well, that's what we aim to do here. And we're big fans of Derek Dennis, and we're following the XFL very closely. As a matter of fact, I woke up Sunday morning, couldn't wait for the XFL games because I knew my Tampa Bay something-somethings were looking for their first win. Well, I know it's the Vipers. I'm joking now.
Yes.
But then I was crestfallen that I couldn't watch. It wasn't on regular television, the afternoon game with Houston wasn't on regular television. The Vipers game was. It was on TSN2. And then later on that night, what was more, I could have found it on my Android box if I'd really cared.
Oh, yeah.
But I saved that for the Golden Knights Kings, which was a major letdown. Anyways, we'll break. Naaman Roosevelt of the Alouettes coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. It's the best time of year to receive the biggest discounts, highest trade values, lowest payments, and hundreds of brand new vehicles to choose from. Get a special $1 over invoice price on all remaining new 2019 vehicles. Plus, finance rates start as low as 0% on select new GMC Sierras. And Costco members receive special member pricing only for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer, with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Monday morning sports update here. Team Wildcards' Mike McEwen defeated Jamie Cooey of the Territory 6-2 this morning to remain unbeaten at the Brier. McEwen's Manitoba rank moved into a first-place tie with Ontario's John Epping in Pool A at 3-0. In the other early games, Quebec's Alec Bedard beat Nunavut's Jake Higgs 7-4. Nova Scotia's Jamie Murphy dumped Brian Cochran of PEI 11-2. Saskatchewan's Matt Dunstone scored 4 in the 10th inning for a 9-8 victory over BC's Stephen Laycock. Alberta's Brendan Botcher, who leads Pool B at 3-0, was off for the morning draw. There you go, Darren. Fresh, fresh, fresh.
Yes.
Curling news for you.
Love it.
The rough stretch continues for the Raptors. Nikola Jokic had 23 points, 18 rebounds, and 11 assists last night as the Denver Nuggets beat Toronto 133-118 to hand the shorthanded Raptors their third straight loss. Meanwhile, the Edmonton Oilers embark on a three-game road trip tonight when they take on the Nashville Predators. Edmonton coming off a 3-2 win over the Winnipeg Jets on home ice Saturday. The Oilers sit second in the Pacific. Nashville currently holds the second wild card in the Western Conference. Vancouver Canucks were stung by a late Columbus rally last night. The Blue Jackets scored 4 unanswered in the third, en route to a 5-3 win. Also Sunday, Cam Talbot had 38 saves as the Flames blanked Florida 3-0, and the LA Kings walked into Vegas and stunned the Golden Knights 4-1, snapped the Knights franchise record-tying win streak at 8. And there's a spring training rematch in Dunedin this afternoon where the Blue Jays are hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates. Toronto dropped a 13-9 decision to the Bucks Sunday at Pittsburgh's spring training stadium in Bradenton. Matt Shoemaker starts today for Toronto. The Pirates go with Mitch Keller. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. Also for Ben Cahoon's Protein Bars, G2G Protein Bars. You got one over there, Tyler? Aren't they fantastic? You order these from g2gbar.com, get 20% off your order for RP Show fans. Enter the promo code RP Show at g2gbars.com. That's Ben Cahoon's company. They'll ship it right to your door. 20% off. Apparently, they've been doing it in droves.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon as well, corner Vital Wild and Circle Drive. See at Wendell's. What are you laughing at, Nick? What do you see?
Oh, he asked, does the co-host look like Jason Sudeikis?
He does.
Yeah, it's not
or is it just me?
Oh, man.
Chad Stallard, thank you. Thank you for the comment, Chad Stallard. Nothing wrong with looking like Jason Sudeikis?
No, I've told
you. You're married to Jennifer Aniston in the movie We're the Millers.
Pretty good.
Or not We're the Millers. Was it We're the Millers?
Yeah. We're the Millers, yeah. She was good in that one.
She's good in every one. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I've been mistaken in public a few times for him. I think I told the story. Is it last week?
Isn't
on the
he like
air?
6'3" though?
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah, he's tall. I'm not tall.
What's the story last week? You
well,
told?
No, in Mexico at the restaurant, I got mistaken for him, and then at the pool in Vegas.
Did you play it out
by the pool boy? Oh yeah,
yeah.
You have
you
to
do that,
yeah. But it just didn't really play anything. I didn't say I was him. I just didn't say I wasn't.
I was right? at a pool party in Vegas, and we thought Sean Avery was there. It was a guy that looked exactly like Sean Avery, acting like a goof too, but it wasn't. Because one of our guys went up to him and said, "Are you Sean Avery?" And he's like, "No, get it all the time, though. Same thing." Yeah. Those foam parties are fun. Have you been to one, Nick?
Yeah, went to a foam party in Cabo. Went to a foam party in Cancun, and
I went to one Friday night
in Cabo.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I said 10 years ago. They wouldn't have found me till they drained the foam out of this pool. I'd have been dead.
Where'd you stay at?
The Rio.
That's where I went.
That was the party.
Wow,
quite wild, huh?
Yes.
Good times.
Yes.
By the way,
leave it there.
Couple things. Terry Carrier writes in. He says, I've changed my answer three times on the poll to I don't know. Good poll question. And good guests. Thank you. That's Clark, by the way, the best guest booker in Canada. Which, by the way, we're going to have Gord Bamford on later on this week. Their people got a hold of our people, and Gord Bamford's going to be on later this week. But the poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, should CFL salaries be published? I'm an emphatic yes, and I will hear the argument for no. I get it, but if I had to vote one or the other, it's yes. Wendell Clark's, by the way, I said I was going to ask you, Nick, for your stories from Saturday night at the Rush game. You went to Wendell's.
Yes.
And that's all through our friends, Rockstar Supply Chains. We had Darnell and Roxanne in here this morning. And great people, great sponsors of the show. What was Saturday like for you?
It was awesome. Yeah, me and the wife drove up and went to Wendell's for a little bit. Met everyone, signed the celebrity wall, and then went to the game, came back after the game, had some drinks, ate. And just enjoyed the people, man. It was awesome being there. I guess one of the Stamp fans found out I was there, so he brought a he came with a jersey and a flag, Stamp
flag. Wow.
Signed that. I got to draw, pull a 50-50 ticket, and yeah, I said whoever I pull owes me a shot, so I got a free shot out of that. So I guess that works too.
By the way, they tell me that Naaman's ready, so hang on, President. We'll be with you right away. But Nick, was there tension in the phone booth in SaskTel Center Saturday night with the Rush blowing that halftime lead. How many goals did
they? 6-2. They were 6-2.
And early. They blew it.
Yes.
Were people ticked?
I just think they changed the way they played. I think they played not to lose in the second half. Right? You come out, you were going, well, let's be defensive. If they don't really score, then we won't lose. But then the next thing you know, it was 6-6. And then it's like, it's kind of hard to turn it back on.
It's momentum, man. It's a thing. You said the coach, Derek Keenan, was very upset. Darren, what did he say?
Yeah, well, I saw the comments from Ryan Dilks, the defenseman. And, you know, he's like, you know, I don't want to put the blame on the offense, but we got to show up in the second half. We got to score, right? I mean, two goals in the second half, it's not enough.
They got to get this figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At home, yeah.
Okay, so now we're going out on video chat right now. We have the newest member of the Montreal Alouettes. I got to say, it doesn't feel real right to say. But Naaman Roosevelt joining us today on video chat. Hey, Naaman, where are you at today?
I'm in Buffalo. Just got
You're
done
back home.
Out.
Yeah, back home. What's the last 3 weeks been like for you, Naaman, through free agency and finding out that you weren't going to be back with the Riders and dealing with the Rider Nation and their outpouring of support and then signing in Montreal? What's it been like?
I mean, it's been pretty crazy, but, you know, I got a good agent in Fred, and he's just been taking care of everything. So I've just been chilling pretty much and just, you know, just been working out, you know, focusing on what I need to focus on. You know, been doing some school stuff, been, you know, still been rapping, still been, you know, working out in the gym hard. So just been doing that and just staying motivated. And, you know, I knew something would happen, you know, sooner or later. So I was just chilling and waiting.
I'm sure you've done all the interviews since you left, but this is the first one with me, so this is the first time I've asked you these questions. I'm going to go in reverse chronological order here. When you knew you weren't going to be back with Saskatchewan in 2020 after all you've been through, take me through that. What did it feel like?
You know, I kind of knew, you know what I mean, going into the, you know, kind of ending the season, you know, you kind of, you know, you get Jay Will back, you got, you know, a bunch of young guys, that's some ballers, you got, you know, you got Shaq, you got Swerve, you got Jay Will, you got, Paul on the practice squad, that's a baller. You got Kenny Stafford. You got a bunch of guys that, you know, can make plays and can, you know, lead the team. So I'm excited where they're going. You know, it's a bunch of good guys over there, and it's a good group. So, you know, I kind of knew that, you know, good things don't last forever. So I kind of knew, you know, that time was coming.
Well, just for your time that was here, 2015 to 2019, that's five seasons. And, you know, your jersey was up in the store. You're one of the featured guys. And, you know, you were a fan favorite and still are a fan favorite, by the way. Once a Rider, always a Rider. Can you talk about showing up here in 2015, a find of the Tamman regime and going through all the ups and downs? You probably never thought it would go the way that it did or for as long as it did.
I mean, it was pretty crazy. You know what I mean? Just, come to Saskatchewan and just not know, you know what I mean? Just, you know, coming to the CFL, I mean, there's so much to learn about the CFL game, you know, if you come up here just to, you know, think you're going to ball out, you know, there's a lot of people that think they just come out here and just, you know, could do what these guys do, and you can't. I mean, it's a lot of things you got to learn. The game is totally different, you know, from the American game, and, you know, it's exciting. So, you know, when I first learned, I came here ready to learn, I just wanted to play football. That's all I wanted, and, you know, that's what I dreamed of doing, is playing professional football. So they gave me the opportunity, and I, you know, took it and ran with it, and, you know, be one of the players that, you know, that played at, I mean, I wanted to play, you know, one of the few players that played at, you know, Taylor Field, and also played at the new stadium, which is, you know, pretty crazy. And just to see how different and how much it changed. And you know, these young guys don't even know, you know, what the locker room looked like, you know, 5 years ago. So it's pretty crazy.
Namon, you are, if I'm a surefire Hall of Famer, Players of Honor inductee, there's no doubt. 2,000-yard seasons in just your 5 years. I mean, you did it all. So it's not like you're never going to be back. But Nick, well, you'll be back as a player too. But yeah, Nick, yeah. He finished in Montreal. Do you have any advice for Namon here today? I mean, you guys know each other through training camp. But Nick was your guest coach 1 year. What would you tell Namon about going to Montreal?
We got a lot of particulars. You know, Cope was his first coach in the CFL. And Cope was raving about him when he was coming to Canada. We used to talk about it a lot. Man, the only thing I can say about Montreal, man, it's fun. And hang out with John Bowman. Make sure you do not miss that experience. Close to Bo. He know everybody. So just hang out with John Bowman. You'll make a lot of connections. You'll have a lot of fun.
For sure. Appreciate
and also, that. You said you're rapping, right? We go back to earlier. Toronto, using the Raptors to try to get guys. If you sit courtside and you met Drake, would that influence you to be a
artist? To sign.
For sure. If Drake was like, man, you come here and I just give you, if you told me I could just get you in a studio or something this one time, I would sign without a doubt. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's definitely big where you got the Raptors and you got so much going on in Canada. I mean, it's something, you know what I mean, that it's experience that you some people can't just give up. So, you know, if I saw Drake and he said anything like that, I would sign without a doubt.
Namon, the reason Nick brings it up was because Willie was with us last hour, Willie Jefferson. And he said, if they think me meeting Drake's going to make me sign, they don't know me. That's not me. So what we said, just it depends on who the player is, right? Because he's not a rapper.
Yeah, if you're a rapper, then it's a huge advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, what did Montreal do to make you want to sign there? What has you excited?
I mean, just a player like, you know, you got big play VA there, man. And, you know, when I was just talking, he heard I was just talking to Montreal. He texted me, you know, he say, like, what's up, bro? You know, what it take to get you here? And, you know, man, I'd love to play with you again. And, you know, I heard about Kahari and how great of a coach he was. And, you know, I just saw from last year how excited the city was. I mean, I never saw the crowd like that in the last 5 years I've been up here. And, you know, everybody's excited about the season and ready to go. And when you got a player like VA that, you know, so excited to get you out there with him and ready to ball. You know, he's been sending me plays the past couple of days, just, you know, telling me what to learn, telling me what to look for. So when you got a quarterback like that, that's, you know, a good person on and off the field and, you know, so motivated to win. I mean, it was just a plus for me and I was ready to go.
Any message, Namon, to Rider fans here today? I mean, you will always have my respect as a human being and a football player because there's no better have come through these doors in their time. And I think you spent enough time with fans that they know that about you. But any message to them here before we let you go today?
Oh, definitely. Man, that's my second home. And I love that place. You know, I grew so much as a person, you know, as a player, you know, there. And, you know, every moment of it been exciting. Just, you know, me and the community, you know, the fan support is, you know, one of a kind. You never, you know, something, you know, you never even thought of and never even dreamed of. And, you know, just like you said, having my, you know, my jersey in stores and, you know, people coming to ask for autographs. And, you know, as a kid, you dream of that. But, you know, you really don't, you know, see that even happen. And so it was just always, it's just been a blessing and, you know, forever be in my heart and, you know, definitely grateful for the opportunity.
Namon, we'll see you when you come through. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate the time today.
No doubt. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Namon Roosevelt joining us today from Buffalo, New York. And my mind's flooding. We won't go overtime today, although we could. Next segment, I want to talk about the Alouettes. And Namon just said it. That stadium hasn't been for years like it was in the second half of this year when it was rocking. And it was a place that you didn't want to go in as a visitor. That's back now. But it's been a long time. We kind of forget that. And that was, frankly, the tail end of the Trestman era. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that next segment. But, Nick, the thing that I want to talk about here is Rider fans are saying, and maybe you can explain this because you've seen this from both sides, if he can sign in Montreal, why can't he sign here? If he's over the hill and too expensive here, how come Montreal wants him? They don't understand why he wouldn't fit here.
It's the evolution. Like he said, you have Kenny Stafford who didn't play last year. You have Swerve and all these young guys. And to give them the full opportunity to maximize what they do, you got to create the space. And it's not that Naaman can't play anymore, because he can still play at a high level. He can still go out and do what he does because he's a great player. And he's going to do that in Montreal. But evolution says, look, we got these young guys, right? It's time to give them the keys to the car, let them drive the car. And they've proven over the last 2 years that they're capable of making plays consistently enough to have the keys.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But this is the way, frankly, the way that it has to go.
Yep. You know,
and it seems to me like Naaman has accepted that.
Yep. And we see it all through sports, right? Joffrey and John Cornish, right? You see guys get to that point to where if it even becomes really even and they're cheaper, because now I can get two guys for the price of Naaman, right?
Yeah.
And well, now I have extra, you know,
of manpower. Course, but also when he came here in 2015, there were guys by the name of Weston Dressler.
Exactly.
And so that it he just, took jobs.
Yep.
It's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
But I want to talk about this because I'm not sure that it's time to put Mark Trestman out to pasture, but they are saying maybe it is. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show. Boy, we got a real star-studded lineup this week. And I'm going to get to that in the overtime segment, who's coming up. But I want to spoil the surprise. Jason Bisek in Red Deer writes in. He says, God, all this CFL talk has got me excited for the season. Hashtag, is it June yet? I said to Nick in the break, the CFL may or may not realize it, but this is the best thing they got. And now talking CFL in March is just second nature. It's not even we're doing anything special here. It's
right.
What we do. Wayne in Victoria says, it's too bad that Naaman couldn't finish his career with the Riders. But Wayne, we just explained it over 5 minutes. Did you go to the bathroom when that was going on? You can take your phone with you to the bathroom, you know. We explained it all. I want to talk about Tressman here. I don't need to go back and read what I screenshotted off my CBSSports.com article today. I put it on Twitter. Headline is, Jaime Elizondo saves Vipers. Mark Trestman, according to CBS Sports, would have been fired had the Vipers not won yesterday. And they did, but they're giving the credit to Elizondo, who the offense has exploded for points since Mark Trestman handed over the offensive play caller duties to Jaime Elizondo, which we all know is an outstanding play caller. I mean, believe me. I remember talking to Ryder, not coaches, players, about what he was doing to them when the Rough Riders played the Red Blacks. It was, they had them running all over the field. They didn't know where they were going, right? Tongue was hanging out. Elizondo knows what he's doing. But is Mark Trestman not? I just can't believe that what, the game's passed Trestman by? I just can't. Last team to win back-to-back Grey Cups, the Montreal Alouettes on Mark Trestman's watch. You talk to anybody, Nick, and you've talked to tons who've played for Trestman. At least the guys that I know would lay down in traffic for the guy.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Not according to the media in Tampa Bay, I guess.
It's very unfortunate. I mean, even when you look at the Vegas had ranked them the number two team, right?
Yep.
With the best odds. So with expectation and then the disappointment – and then do a lot of XFL fans know Trestman, right? He made his name in Canada. He did have a very short stint with the Bears as the head coach, but it wasn't long. So a lot of his work is behind the scenes. Like, how many coordinators do you really know in the NFL? So a lot of their work is behind the scenes, and he really made his name in Canada. So I think Canadians or people that love the CFL view Trestman a little different than everyone else.
The first sign for me that he's still a good coach and that he knows what he's doing is that he handed the reins over to Jaime Elizondo. Because a good coach and a good leader and a good mentor, you know, also is self-aware to know that, okay, maybe I don't quite have this right now and maybe haven't figured out the nuances of the XFL game or fully adjusted back to the American game or away from an Anthony Calvillo or Ricky Ray into what's becoming the new football of, you know, Cody Fajardo here, but guys like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, when you have more athletic, a little bit different style, not the pro passer, right? Yep. So, you know, maybe he's got to go back to school a little bit and learn the game. But the fact that he's willing to admit that, he still took a chance. He bet on himself and then starts to bet on the guys around him. So to me, that's step one in making me understand that he still knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm following it very closely. I don't know. Is today's player, could Mark not relate to them? I mean, I've read his book. The guy's got a law degree. There's not a lot of coaches that have law degrees. Some GMs do. Not a lot of coaches. I mean, he's not a dumb guy. But fired in Chicago, as you mentioned. Mike Ditka went to the owners of the Bears and said, please don't fire him.
Yeah.
He's not the problem. They fired him anyways. Because I don't even think that they know football. Fired in Toronto a year after winning a Grey Cup. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me in all of this.
I think a lot of football gets it wrong. Baseball has managers. I think the head coach has to be a great manager. Manager of coaches and manager of players and manager of people, right? I don't think just because you're a great coordinator, you're going to be a great coach. And I think that's where football is when you're a really good coordinator, then you should be a great coach. But they should be looking for great managers, right? Because you have to manage your staff to give people roles and make sure they execute their roles. And then you have to manage your team to take the temperature, to bring them up, we need to bring them up, bring them down, we need to bring them down, and coordinate all this into one. And it doesn't have to do with how smart you are football-wise. Now, that comes in on the aspect of holding the OC or DC accountable for how they're playing. Like, if I watch the film and say, okay, defense, this week we should blitz more, put together packages, more blitz. Offense, we should throw the ball down the field, or we should attack a certain player. That's the role of a head coach, not really to go out there and execute game plans consistently through the season.
Sandra Larson writes in. She says, a week ago there was a story about Trestman and the Vipers quarterback not getting along. I thought that didn't sound good at the time. I don't know. I've worked alongside a lot of people that I don't like. But on game day, we got it done. On show day, we got it done. That's about being professional. You're starting to hear more and more and more about Trestman not getting along with quarterbacks in, under his employ. And that just tells me that the quarterbacks are changing. I don't think Mark's changed. I think the players have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably going to have to adapt or maybe just say, screw it. I guess what I was saying, he was fired in Chicago, fired in Toronto, left Montreal on his own to go to Chicago. He's been fired as coordinator. He and I have talked about all that. We're good friends. He just said, you get up, dust yourself off, and get back into it. But I wonder if he's getting to a point now where he's like, is it worth it? I don't know.
Smart guys like that, that built offenses, just put a lot of work into it. Jacques Chaptelaine, they put so much work into their craft in that offense. Sometimes it's, this is my offense, you need to learn it. And there's some coordinators that say, this is your skill set, I need to build something that fits you. And I think a lot of players are, or a lot of teams are going there. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson could not run any other offense in the NFL. But they created a great offense for him with three tight ends. They could throw the ball, they can run the ball and do those things. And sometimes it's just hard for some guys to say, well, I have to do something that I don't do because that's what he can do.
Adjust.
That's it.
Great coaches can. And I'm not prepared to say Trestman can't, but something's not going on in Tampa. Right. Derek Lafrenny writes in. He says, I'm cheering for the Vipers because of Mark and Jamie. Me too. And when they handed it over to Elizondo, I thought, hey, whatever, great for him. I like Jamie. When I got kicked out of the walkthrough for the Red Blacks, I laughed. I was never offended. I don't get offended.
No.
Maybe I should have been offended. I don't know. I thought it was funny. But I also remember, by the way, the next day after we came home, I went to a player appearance. Mac Henry said, would you mind coming to this thing I'm doing at the Mama Wayaton Center? And it was Charleston Hughes, Ed Gainey, and they cornered me on the stairs. Nick, you may or may not believe this. We're barbecuing, and they're like, what did you think of the game last night? And I didn't even get anything out of my mouth. They're like, we got out-coached. I'm like, guess it doesn't matter what I think. Clearly, you guys have your... And they talked about how great Elizondo is at play calling and scheming and everything. There's no doubt. So still a Vipers fan. See where it goes from here. Nick, thanks for that chat.
Two of the best coaches right now, O'Shea and Craig Dickerson. Special teams coaches. Never been offensive defense coordinators.
Managers of
managed the now team. Is that a trend or is it a fad or a coincidence?
They're used to managing the whole team.
Oh.
That's the only meeting where everybody's in there.
Oh,
right?
Dun.
When you get guys that are managers and not just great coordinators.
You have to manage people. Yeah.
All right, Nick, we got gift cards for you from The Tap. Appreciate you coming in.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank
Dupe,
you.
Dupes and I back with Overtime next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. The Capital Auto Mall has over 550 used vehicles, and they've all been repriced to move. Right now, get this pre-owned 2017 Jeep Grand Cherokee for only $29,999 plus tax. Or check out this pre-owned 2014 Volkswagen Jetta. Its markdown price is only $12,574 plus tax. It's Markdown March, only for a limited time at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back. What the heck? Oh, I unplugged my... Whoops. Couldn't hear anything.
Are you okay?
This thing on.
I can confirm that it is on.
There we go. We're back for overtime for Emerald Water. By the way, it's, believe it or not, I don't know if you like me leaving or not for holidays. I do. And it's great for me to sit on the other side of the screen and watch and just kind of see everything and hear the spots. Because in the commercial, we don't actually hear the spots. We're running around here. Emerald Water. Did you say it's Saskatchewan's number one choice?
Yeah.
Emerald Water? You'd think I'd know that after 183
it's
shows.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Emerald Water, thank you for bringing us the overtime segment. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go with Sports on Tap tonight or lining up the week that will be on this show? Where do you want to go?
Both are pretty good.
Both are outstanding.
Yeah.
The week that will be tomorrow, a real dog's breakfast, if you will, a real Motley Crue. We can get through a lot of topics tomorrow with Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, Dan Plaster of the CBC, Swerve, Kyran Moore of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Actually, I had Swerve on the desk here somewhere. Where'd he go?
He's just out of the shot.
We're going to move Swerve up.
Pan over.
Jamie Neugebauer of the Notre Dame Hounds, SJHL playoff preview with Noogsy as the Hounds missed the playoffs. That kind of sucks. For them. On Wednesday, an all-riders show. Wes Cates, Otha Foster III, Jim Hopson, and Big Joe, Josiah St. John. Yeah. Thursday, Frankie Kovacs, career games played leader for the Regina Pats, the greatest sports team in the history of the world. Frank Kovacs will be here. Davey Hunchak from the Hunch Bunch, former Kamloops, Swift Current, Moose Jaw coach, coach with Team Canada too, Dakota Shepley. And Friday, John Frenzy. Mike Abou-Meshrick returns from wherever he's been, from whence he came. Mike Abou-Meshrick will be with us.
Yeah, long lost, Mike Abou-Meshrick.
And by the way, the manager for Gord Bamford texting me and telling me that he wants to get Gord on this week. So we were in a pool in Mexico. You want to hear some of those stories?
Yeah, I do. This is what I was waiting the whole morning for. We've been so busy with people in here, sponsors and everything else. I just want the Mexico stories.
Mine are pretty tame, but I was in the... Mac Roy is the manager for Gord Bamford, Canadian country star. Let's just say country star because they play his music all over the States too.
Yep.
And they love it. And he says, do you have artists on your show? And I said, no. But I'll have artists on that I like, because I like Gord Bamford. And I really do. That's not faking. You know that. You may not like me, but at least you know what's coming out of my mouth. I believe. And I like Gord Bamford. I'll tell you what. When he busted into Postcards from Pasadena Wednesday in Mexico, that was awesome. Live cool. show. So Gord Bamford's going to be on. And the guy said, can we get Gord on this week? He's coming to Moose Jaw. He's dropping a new album. I don't know if it's the same record label as Naaman Roosevelt or not. I'm not sure.
probably not.
But anyways, it's good to be on the other side of the screen. I thought you did an outstanding job.
Appreciate
really
that.
Good job. I enjoyed the show. I thought you'd be you'd enjoy hearing me say that I was on my recliner by the pool, chuckling.
Yes.
And my wife saying, "What are you laughing at? The show. I'm watching the show. It's very funny. Lynch is on fire today," which he was.
He was. Yeah, it was quite fun, you know. And man, you realize how much work it is.
Oh yeah,
it's not easy. It's a lot of work, and you know, trying to run the show and take care of business doesn't happen when you're hosting a show, because it consumes your day. I mean, you might only be here for 2 hours, but I understand how it consumes your day. I'm sitting there making sure I'm watching more games than I've ever watched. I'm watching more highlights. I'm reading more than I ever have, you know, typically, and just making sure you're updated on everything. And you got to be in every social media conversation to know what's trending and know what's going on.
Got to be on top of things.
You got to be on top of things. And John's calling you. Are you picking me up? And you're kind of a babysitter. You're scheduling that way as the driver, and you got so many things going on. It's impressive that you do it, and it's so comfortable.
Well, it's not just because I often say I work 2 hours a day, but those things that you're just talking about, I normally would have been on top of anyways.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
And we are. We are on top of those things for sure. But now there's...
But you need to be more so because you're hosting.
For me,
it's normally what I would do. But yeah, met a lot of great people down there, and they're just kind of... A lot of them were saying, "We know about your show. How do we get your show?" So I'm literally trying to show them how to do it. All that kind of stuff. So I guess I was working. But I'll say this. I don't feel like I really needed a holiday. Life's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be the countdown to the vacation. And then a couple days before you came back, you're getting angry. I'm like, oh, I'm okay with going back. This is fun. Life's great.
I know.
That's nice.
But that's really nice. But you know what that's like in life, where you're out somewhere and your phone goes bzz, bzz, and you see social media updates and you're like, man, I wish I could be working right now and I wasn't at this concert or at this game or at this thing. Because you're just always on, right? It's not that you like working. It's just that you're doing what you love to do anyway and how you'd rather be spending your time.
Bingo.
Yeah. It's not that you like to work. It's that you're just...
You love your work.
You're just doing what you love.
There's no doubt about
that. There's no work. Work is not a word that comes into play.
Couple comments from the Facebook wall from Mick Panko. He says, "You guys are a dynamic duo, like Batman and Robin." Thank you. Are we going way back on that?
We're bringing that back.
Legendary teams? I'd be okay with that. Cooper Campbell, who's a football man in Mississippi, he's watching right now. And he says, "Mark Trestman is one of the nicest people out there and knows talent. With that being said, I believe Paul Appelese is one of the best offensive guys out there, period." Oh, there's no doubt. And, you know, this little conversation that we had with Nick Lewis and yourself and me about these coaches is what the football people sit and talk about all damn day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Just stuff like this. And I refuse to believe that Mark Trestman, his time is up. I just can't. He's got so much to offer. And we're not saying that it is up. But it's an interesting thing of what's going on in Tampa Bay. And by the way, your poll Friday of who will win the most games, Toronto, BC, or Ottawa, I'd have voted for Ottawa. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they have their coach and they have their quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, the other teams feel the same way, right? I'm just a big believer in what Ottawa's doing, and that's my opinion, chiming in 3 days late, as usual.
It's still good.
Today's Sports on Tap for the Tap Liquor Store and Brew House. Western League yesterday, Prince Albert Raiders downing Moose Jaw 3-2. Victoria beating Vancouver 4-1. Lethbridge was a 3-2 winner over Calgary, and Everett knocked off Portland 4-1. No games in the dub tonight. However, tomorrow, we're really starting to savor this end of the season stuff. We Pat fans, Darren, because it's the Pats and the Warriors under the orange top tomorrow.
Yep.
You going to be there, Ty?
Yep.
Of course. I'm already looking forward to Tuesday night in the Brand Center.
We're not going.
I am.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. We're in Humboldt.
We're going to Humboldt. I was just going to ask you, are you driving? Am I driving?
Whoops. Guess I'm not looking forward to that. Thank you for the reminder.
But on the weekend, you look forward to the home and home with the Blades.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, Saturday.
SJ, no games last night. A rare Sunday off in the SJ. But tonight there's a game, Flin Flon at Melfort. I think that's the rescheduled game from the one that was postponed due to storm earlier this winter. So that's tonight, Flin Flon at Melfort. NHL, just two games tonight, Colorado at Detroit, Edmonton at Nashville. I think we're out of time. We're overtime. I guess that's why they call it overtime for Emerald Water. Sports on Tap brought to you by the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the Brewhouse. Stop by and see them today. Anything else?
No, that's
good. We covered a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to all who tuned in. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.